seem upset after the game. I mean, this is a very ebullient, excited guy. You know, the second half was a totally different story than the first. And, yeah, he really, I think he, what, got maybe one or two targets in the second half. And he did have a chance to get that all-time record. But, listen, this is a guy who's in his second year. I mean, he's going to get a few more hacks at that record during his career. So I don't think that he was too distraught over how it all came out. 210 yards is something to be pretty proud of, I think.
Yeah, it's a great day for the young guy, Kittle. What about the receiving core? What did you think about Pettis? What did you think about the other young guys who stood out to you?
I was a little surprised that Marquise Goodwin played so sporadically. I thought that since he was back in the fold, it would be a normal game for him, where he gets, you know, what, 90% of the snaps, and that wasn't the case. He rotated in there pretty heavily, rotated with Kendrick Bourne and Dante Pettis, and then they had the two slot receivers, Rishi James and Trent Taylor, rotate in as well. So I was a bit surprised that he didn't have a bigger role in this game. And I can only assume that it's part of the theme that the 49ers were going with. It's that they want to see these young players in this final stretch of the season, and the young players they want to see are Bourne and Pettis. And you saw that on defense. You saw Earl Mitchell in uniform, perfectly healthy. He didn't play. Malcolm Smith was in uniform, perfectly healthy. He didn't play. And that was because they wanted to see the younger understudies at those spots. And for the most part, the young guys played pretty well on Sunday.
Matt Barrels covers the 49ers for The Athletic, and he's joining us on 95.7 The Game. If I can focus strictly on the defense, Robert Saleh, is he locked in, or is that an area where Kyle Shanahan says at the end of the year, we're going to evaluate everything we have up and down, not only the roster, but also the coaching staff?
I think he's locked in. I mean, everything that Shanahan has said, he hasn't used the L word. He hasn't said locked in, we're not going to fire him for sure. But he's come very close to saying that, and I think that he believes in Saleh. I think that he believes in the system. And I also think he believes that, you know, Saleh's been working with a unit that doesn't have, you know, perhaps the key position, and that's pass rusher. And once that comes in, a lot of all the other puzzle pieces start to slide together a lot more easily. And you did start to see that yesterday. I mean, the defense played well. They had the energy that they'd been searching for all season. The tackling was really good. I mean, it was just a far cry from those tackling issues that it had early in the season. The missing element is takeaways. Again, they went through a game without a single takeaway. They lost the turnover battle 1-0, but they were still able to win the contest. And it seems like they're going to have to do that because they just do not get interceptions. They do not get fumbles. And that's the earmark of the 49ers this season.
Solomon Thomas had probably his best game of the season, maybe his best game as a 49er. To what do you attribute his rejuvenation against Denver yesterday?
I don't know, but I agree with you. Certainly in the first half, he was always around the quarterback. Didn't get a lot of stats, no tackles, no sacks, but he got two quarterback hits. He hit the quarterback and was flagged for that roughing the passer call. He was like everybody else. There just seemed to be a burst of energy from that group early on, and I don't know what it was, what was said before the game, or maybe it was because it was such a young group out there, and he was one of those youngsters that was part of it. But there just seemed to be a nice atmosphere on defense, particularly from the 49ers, and that's exactly what Robert Saleh has been looking for. And, you know, if he can continue to do that the next three games, I don't think there would be a question that he's going to be fired, because that's exactly what, you know, on paper the 49ers should look like, that all gas, no break type of aggression and energy and movement. And that's precisely what we saw against the Broncos.
The things that I was impressed with and things I took away from that game was the ability, like you said, to tackle. and there was not a lot of yards after contact. When they were hitting guys, they were going down. You saw Denver trying to do the pick routes and rub routes. Guys were getting over the top on the fourth down and made the tackles right there. Didn't break the tackle and pick up the first down. You saw Denver last week against Pittsburgh able to run the ball with the running back, young running back, runs hard. Didn't give an opportunity. Kept him under 100 yards. Kept the passer from under 200 yards throwing the ball. What was it? I mean, in your opinion, to be able to be that stout on defense, was it the technique? Was it the what do you assess a lot of that success to?
Two of the guys who stood out, I thought, were DJ Reed, who we'd mostly seen at free safety this year, and because of an injury to K'Wan Williams, he was playing nickel. So that put him around the line of scrimmage a lot. And he is a little guy, but he's feisty. He likes it around the line of scrimmage. He likes to be in the middle of the action. He was, essentially in his element. And he led the team with 12 tackles, and nobody got away from him. There were no broken tackles when he was involved. So I thought that was a big part of it. I thought that Marcel Harris, another rookie, another draft pick, DJ Reed was picked fifth in April. Harris was picked sixth, and I thought he had a very similar game. He got knocked a little bit for his first start last week in Seattle for missing a few tackles. But even in that game, he was around the action a lot. He was in the right places. He was kind of putting his nose into the action. And that game served as sort of a warm-up, I think, for the Denver game, because by Denver, he was just like DJ Reed. He was on fire. He wasn't letting anybody go. He was the one that had those two consecutive tackles in the fourth quarter where all the Broncos needed to do was pick up, a short, 2 yards, and they had a first down. And his first stop was behind the line of scrimmage, and his second stop was a pass play to Lindsey out in the open field, and he got him down before the first down marker. I mean, it's just strong, efficient tackling. And when you look at the stat sheet, and you see that Philip Lindsey, who is the league's fourth leading rusher heading into the game and who had a really terrific average and whose forte was sort of bouncing big runs to the outside, you see that his longest run of the game was 5 yards. And you realize that they just put the squeeze on the guy. They just he had nowhere to run, which suggests that they tackled well, and they tackled as a group. They just didn't leave him any avenues to escape.
All right, Matty, thanks for the insights. We always appreciate it. The great Matt Barrows, you read him in The Athletic, covers the 49ers and does a great job. Matt, thanks very much. Enjoy the rest of your week, pal.
All right, anytime, guys. Thank you,
man. There you have it. That's Matt Barrows. We've got Joe Lowe and Dibs rolling through. We got the big hour coming, right? And when we continue, Dibs, I'm excited now. You got me all a Twitter because we got people potentially going to Hawaii.
Going to call a name, and that person could be a qualifier to a trip for four to Hawaii, courtesy Alaska Airlines. Don't miss it.
Don't go anywhere. Joe Lowe and Dibs in the big power hour straight ahead on 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowe and Dibs continues on Monster Monday. Brought to you by Oaks Card Club, FH Daily Chevrolet, and Benjamin Moore Paints.
Mullins looking to throw. There's Kittle wide open. Somebody's got to cover George Kittle.
We're going to cover George Kittle at 9:30 this morning. Thank you, CBS Television, for that call and for that highlight. And thank you to the 49ers for giving me one of the most exciting Sundays of the season. Joe Lowe and Dibs, Joe Fortenbaugh is off this week. I am Jim Cosimore. Dibs, are you still a Twitter after that exciting 49er win?
It's pretty exciting, without a doubt. And I'm of the mind that you should always get as many wins as you can. I don't believe in tanking, certainly in football. Basketball, it's a little bit of a different story. Physical nature of football, though, makes it to where you can never ask these guys to, quote, tank. So of that mindset, you see a 49er team go out there and play as hard as they did, compete as hard as they did, and be that happy that they won the game. It was super sweet for San Francisco, Santa Clara.
It was very. It was Santa Clara. That was a good one, Dibs. It wasn't San Francisco. It is Santa Clara. Anyways, as I digest, it was a sweet victory, and what you got to see by an all-star, emerging all-star tight end was unbelievable. I really wish that the San Francisco 49ers, since they tried to trade for, we understand, Khalil Mack. We get that.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that they would have made another second trade for Amari Cooper. You talk about giving up a number one pick for a guy in San Francisco showing that they don't have a true number one. Amari Cooper in this system, I mean, you've seen what this guy did yesterday, first player in NFL history. They're going to get a receiver. They have to get a receiver. You know they're getting a receiver. Amari Cooper is going to be free next year. It's going to be interesting just to see because he has shown that he's a game changer. Huge shout out to the Coop for getting it done. So the Niners, though, you have to appreciate their what they did. They beat off a team. They beat up a team that was still had
Where
playoff
are you
hopes.
Where are you going with this?
They had playoff hopes. They did. Right. They had playoff hopes. You're saying how big of the win they had? This is a team. The Denver Broncos was a playoff team, a team that had playoff hopes,
right?
And they were able to spoil them. So you have to be very optimistic moving forward.
The chance to play spoiler again next week with Seattle coming to town.
Absolutely.
As you try to find
your
reasons
rival.
To stay motivated.
Your rival, the Seattle Seahawks?
Not really your rival right now, but if you beat them at home and you spoil their playoff
stick
hopes,
it to them.
Then all of a sudden you start to maybe put the R back in rival because right now it's just an ival, Jim. There's no R in it.
Alrighty, it's 7:20. You know what that means?
What?
7:20 is a good time for a lot of people.
Or one person in particular.
That's right. It's time for the 95.7 The Game and Alaska Airlines Hawaii for the Holidays Flyaway Contest. We're sending one listener and three guests on a dream vacation this holiday season, courtesy of Alaska Airlines, with nonstop flights from the Bay Area to Hawaii. If you haven't already, register now for your chance to qualify at 95.7thegame.com. Today's qualifier, and you have 9 minutes and 57 seconds to call the contest line. Today's qualifier is Anthony Rodriguez from Livermore. Call the contest line at 415-402-6865. That number, 415-402-6865. You have 9 minutes, 57 seconds to call the contest line. If you don't call us back, we're going to pick another name, and we'll announce that name. So go get him, Anthony Rodriguez from Livermore.
If you know Anthony Rodriguez of Livermore, give him a call, give him a heads up, text him, tweet him, Facebook him, hit him on the chat, do whatever you can to get him to qualify, and maybe he'll take you on this great trip courtesy of our good friends at Alaska Airlines.
And if he has a beeper, hit him up on the beeper.
Page him.
Page that bad boy and get him going.
Because he's a little 911.
By the way. Three friends right here would be happy to join you on a trip to Hawaii.
Without a doubt.
That would be an awful lot of fun. Good luck to him and good
Speak
luck to
for
everybody
yourself.
Out there.
I wouldn't want to go in there with you, Coz.
Wow. What
How
is
about that?
That?
You like apples? How do you like those apples?
How about a little racial bomb right there? You don't want to hang out with the... Wow.
I
want to hang out with a white guy.
I didn't say dibs.
Wow.
I didn't
that's
say dibs.
Even Anna, even say Anna said, yeah, that's what's going on.
Oh,
that's
oh,
what's going on. 7:22 the time.
I didn't hear Anna say that. I didn't hear her say that.
I want to get into this 49er thing because the 49ers, to me, are a club that is... Lo and I are very fun. Are very friendly,
I love
by
you.
The way. Exactly. I love you, too. The 49ers could be a team that fills a gap that we've seen the last couple of years. The L.A. Rams were a bad team for a while. They draft a quarterback. He wasn't quite ready to be the guy. But they come in with an offensive-minded head coach, and they let Wade Phillips deal with the defense. And all of a sudden, the Rams became relevant and very, very good. They had a phenomenal year last year. They continue that over this year. The Chicago Bears took that mold. They took an extremely offensive-minded head coach, a guy who's got a lot of fun schemes to watch. He had four defensive players on the field on offense and an offensive lineman lined up as a tight end. And on a big play, the only touchdown was scored by the offensive tackle who was playing a tight end. They have a bunch of fun schemes, and they have an old curmudgeonly guy as a defensive coordinator, and they let him handle the defense. If you're the 49ers... Lo, are they a team with an offensive-minded head coach, and they've got this guy who's a quarterback who they really do believe in? Are the 49ers a team that can step in on that to that role of being the next team that jumps from a 3-win club or a 5-win club and jumps all the way up to playoff and double-digit wins in one particular year?
I think if you look at the guys that are going to be on the free agent market, Shaq Barrett, you look at Denver Broncos, who's a now the backup pass rusher who had 8, 9, 10 sacks 1 year, who's a capable pass rusher, young player. You look at Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys has Grady, guys that are going to be a free agent pass rushers. You look at Minnesota Vikings. They have pass rushers that are going to be available. If the San Francisco 49ers, now you have Buckner. Buckner already has 9 sacks. He's already playing inside where the 3, probably third leading sack
rusher.
He's
an inside guy and no one coming off the edge, though,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Okay.
But he plays the same position as the Rams, who's probably going to be the MVP.
Aaron Donald.
So now you got a guy who's Aaron Donald at 16 some tackles. You got Buckner at 9 tackles. So now, and 9 sacks. So now you have that type of guy already inside. Now if you put another pass rusher to the same side, who are you going to double team? You got to pick your poison. So in free agency or
wait,
in the draft,
I got the number one pick though. Right now, I got the number one pick.
So that's
Nick
what I'm
Bosa.
That's what I'm saying. Either if it is Bosa, now you got two guys you can put on a side, and you can't double necessarily both of them. So now you can say, now does that make my back end automatically better? Absolutely.
I think it does,
because now you got two guys that you have on one side, and if you decide not to, and you say, okay, I'm going to get a big-time receiver or a cornerback in free agency now. So I got my pass rusher in the draft. I get a corner, and I get a corner in free agency, another corner to play alongside Richard Sherman that you can get out, because there will be some free agents that you can get. And now I solidify, pick up other pieces. What do you need to get? You definitely know you need a receiver. You need a chain mover. You have game-changer running backs, meaning those two guys you have, Breida and Kittle, those guys, running backs, brother, they are big play guys. But you don't have that guy that can get you 4 yards in a cloud of dust. So maybe in the fourth round, you go get a big physical back that's going to help move the chains. You already have a tight end. You have a quarterback. Now you get a receiver. You're talking about in the draft, you're getting a pass rusher. Free agency, you're getting a corner. So, yes, if Jimmy G can be a solid quarterback, doesn't have to be freaking Montana or freaking Drew Brees, but a solid play at quarterback with the running backs coming back and getting through the draft, continue to build, yes, you can make a huge leap. Not saying you're competing. I don't think that this team is ready to compete for a Super Bowl, but you get a couple breaks. You're in a couple games. You find a way to win it. You can get in. It wouldn't surprise me.
Are the pieces in place the same way they were? They bring in Sean McVay. They've got their guy Jared Goff for the Rams. They made the turnaround. They gave him weapons. They let a guy coach the defense. They went out and got defensive players. They spent their money. Bears the same thing. They went out and spent their money on weapons for Mitchell Trubisky, and he might not be the best quarterback, but he's got weapons that can at least do some things for him and hide some of his ills. And you've got an offensive-minded head coach in Matt Nagy. Do the 49ers have the pieces in place with Kyle Shanahan, with Jimmy Garoppolo, who we all assume comes back healthy, with a potential number one overall pick that gets your defense better, and now you go spend your money on weapons?
They have some pieces, Jim, but I don't think they have as many pieces as the Rams did going into this season when they were able to add the free agent pieces. You bring in Marcus Peters, you bring in Aqib Talib. You already had Aaron Donald, and you added other defensive pieces around. And oh, by the way, you brought in Dante Fowler Jr. midseason this year to bolster a defense that was already good. Chicago's the interesting one because offensively, you have the two good running backs. You have a good tight end who's been quiet of late, but to me, not much else. But because your defense is so elite, and you could go Roquan Smith, you go Khalil Mack, you go Danny Trevathan, all the way across that defense at all three levels, they're an elite defense, and that, I think, has been able to mitigate an offense that hasn't been necessarily that great, in my opinion. So for the 49ers, your defense is not going to be as elite as the Bears. We know that. Can they be as good as the Rams? I don't think the defense in 1 year can be as good as the Rams, even if you love Joey Bosa, which I don't, and even if you bring in help in the secondary, you still need help at the linebacker position. Now, offensively, can your offense be as good as the Rams in 1 year? Probably not, but I think your offense has a better chance of getting closer to the Rams than your defense does of being closer to the Bears.
And when you look at the Rams, Dibs, when you say that, and then you talk about free agency and also the draft. So let's just say in the draft you get a pass rusher, you still got a second-round pick. I think you got 2 first-round picks. Think if you get a pass rusher, you get a linebacker, you know, you still, in the second and third round, you still pick up some other guys that can go out and help you. Think about this, what the Rams went and did. Dante Fowler, you just talked about, they went and got him. They got him. They went on the team last year. Sue. Both corners, Tlaib and Peterson.
Right.
You went and got, you got, think about what they did in one offseason, though. It wasn't like, it wasn't like those guys were on the team. That's, they got, went out and picked up five starters on, in the free agent on a 1 year deal, pretty much. So when you say, can things, can they turn that flip? Can they flip the, turn
the page?
They
have the right other pieces to do those things, but, to get them there.
And you would have to say, when you look at it like that, if I told you I'm going to go to four starters that are in, that are instant starters on this team on defense, tell me how good. You give me four guys, one interior, two secondary, two interior and two secondary. Hell yeah, that can that plays a, that would play a huge part in turning the page for this team. Absolutely.
All righty, we got a lot going on here today. I know we got to get to the beef line. We've got some people on the phone lines. I'd love to know from 49er fan, are you a believer of the pieces in place and the guys making the decisions that this team can go from where they are now, a 3-win team, add the right pieces and make the incremental jump to start to contend for a playoff spot? Or do you think this is a slow burn and build because you've got Kyle Shanahan and you got John Lynch, 6-year contracts. They're not looking to win next year. Maybe it's year four for those guys that they're going to turn things around. 888-957-9570. 888-957-9570. Plus, you can hit us on the Chilton Auto Body text line 95795.
And, Jim, we do have good news.
We do.
Our qualifier.
Yes.
Anthony
Rodriguez from Livermore.
Anthony Rodriguez.
He has called us back.
Smart guy.
He is now one of three qualifiers for a trip for four to Hawaii, courtesy of Alaska Airlines. We only have four more qualifiers possible, Jim. So young Anthony right now is one of three in a very small pot for a chance to win this great prize.
That's congratulations, phenomenal. Anthony.
Way to go, Anthony. I'm rooting for you. I hope it goes well. Your chance to register, you can go to 957thegame.com to register. But good job on Anthony. That worked out very well. Listen, it's 7:30. You know what we got to do right now? It's
what?
Time for the beef line. It's presented by Harris Ranch, legendary beef, legendary quality, available throughout the Bay Area at Raley's and Nob Hill Foods.
There's some things in life that really piss you off. Now's your chance to unleash the fury. This is the Beef Line, proudly presented by Harris Ranch. Legendary beef, legendary quality. Available throughout the Bay Area at Raley's and Nob Hill Foods.
Yes, get over there!
Now, it's time to go beef mode.
Well, the beef line, it's always so good, Jim. Mondays and Fridays at 7:30.
Beef me.
You want some beef?
I want some beef.
You want beef?
I want a chunk of beef.
You can't. Well, maybe you can handle the beef. And we'll
open
see.
Your mouth. We get you some beef, buddy. The beef line.
Wow. That got a wildly, wildly inappropriate. Caller number one.
My name's Mike, and I'm from Walnut Creek. And my beef is with Low and Dip. And they're ferocious, quote-unquote, hot take Friday that the Warriors were going to lose to the Bucks. Low, to sit there and talk
you're
the
right.
Warriors up and say how professional they are and how they're not looking forward to sleeping in their own beds, and then to say with such certainty that they were going to lose. And Div, to say that they were going to lose and then try to take it back after Joe made his pick that they were going to win and say, I want to change my mind. Joe, how do you deal with these guys? If you need someone to put their foot in their mouth on radio, I'm free every morning, and I won't complain, and I certainly won't be on LeBron James's nuts.
Ooh, you got an uptake, too. That's got to hurt.
I mean, see what I deal with, Coz? I make a statement, you know, that I think the Warriors are going to lose the game against Milwaukee on the road.
At the end of a road trip, that wasn't a hot take.
Bucks
right?
were 1-point favorites, and I also thought that the Bucks would win, but the Warriors played a terrific game.
Yeah, they sure did. Great job.
Played great on Friday.
Right.
Steph comes back and drama gone.
And then he talks about, because I talk about LeBron, he talks about, hey, guys, you're wrong, buddy. You're wrong, and you're out of line.
I'm surprised that Joe doesn't go in for more of a kicking when he's not here. How the heck does this beef line elude Joe?
They're scared of him.
Let's see. Let's give me number two.
It's your boy, Samir. I'm calling back with big beef for my man, Lowe. Yesterday's show, he's on here talking about how he doesn't understand what Durant is talking about, toxic and stuff, and that LeBron James has never had any issues like Durant has about leaving and going, Lowe, my man, have you not followed LeBron James' whole career? Last year, before he signed his four-year contract with the Lakers, it was every day. Are you staying in Cleveland? Are you staying? The reason Kyrie left him because he said he didn't want to be little brother to him. LeBron James is toxic. Who want to play for someone when you win, you get no credit, and when you lose, it's always your blame. Stop juggling on LeBron. You know what? And get a life.
Ooh, up to wow. Tamir.
Tamir and you and I. This is black on black crime. Why
it
would
is.
You do that to me? I'm a guy that tried to take you to lunch. I show up at the BBQ spot for you to try to feed you. You know what? You remind me of a snake. I tell you right now, you still a snake. I'm a good guy. And yeah, so I like LeBron. Okay? Big deal. I'm fair. I'm balanced. And I give you hard, cold facts. So leave me alone.
A reversal of the uptick dip.
You can't. No. He recorded
Why?
The uptick. You can't try to retort and respond with an uptick. It just sounds petty. It's like you're chasing it. You got beat. Take your shot and move on. We're on to Cincinnati.
We're on to number three on the beef.
My beef's going out to Ponce Hill. Hey, Ponce, it sounds like you're choking on some Slim, man. So from here on out, your intro song for your show should be Let Me Clear My Throat. To remind you, take a little step back, clear your throat so we can understand what you're saying.
Oh, nice. Man. Midday's getting upticked.
Man, that's 3 for 3 on the uptick.
And as a man who also needs to clear his throat a lot, I feel for you, B. Phlegm can be a very, 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 very tough thing to get over. It's the scourge of morning radio.
It is. Mornings are tougher than where
Don't
he
feel
is.
For him.
He should not have a problem at 12 noon.
Thank you.
I
Fair
can
enough.
See a problem
you,
at 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning. But
Thank
not
you.
Then. So
Thanks,
I, and I think Bonte's got a deviated septum. We got to check into that.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Wow. We got to check into that.
I think we can just leave that one right where it is.
All right.
That should have been a beef line.
That might have been a beef line. Yeah, I should have called that up, right?
Yes.
All right, let's finish off strong here. Beef line number 4.
Yo, my beef is essentially with Lowe.
Oh,
however, I am also mad with Joe and Diddy. Why? Because when you guys leave the show, you guys leave a big baby with two random strangers, and it's the most boring thing ever. Especially when you guys play the beef line when you guys aren't there. It's, like, so boring. And then you hear a little, oh, my gosh, so harsh. Why did the college have to be so harsh? Dude, if you ever went to the hood, if you went to the real hood, you would get
Oh, my God.
Uptick in the hood.
I think that wasn't a rip at you guys. That was a rip at me and Guru.
They ripped me.
No, they were ripping me because they were saying when you're gone, they put on a bunch of nobodies. That was me and Guru who filled in for you guys.
I think they're wrong. These guys are terrible.
You went in for a kicking this week.
I went in for a kick. That's 3 calls on me, Dibbers. 3.
There's one man who selects the calls that get played. One man stands alone when it comes to Beefline production, and that's nice guy Steven.
React! Steven, come on.
Steven, how can you not have Joe going for a kicking? Joe's not
He's
here.
He's scared of him. No wonder.
You're still scared Beefline. Of Joe?
Beefline, come up. Why are you guys... So, it is you, Steven, that's putting all my calls, because probably Dibs, Anna, Joe... And you just continue to put mine on you. You're wrong, Steven. You're wrong.
They're the only calls we get. It's just calls on low. Every day. Every week.
He's the hub
every
of the wheel.
Month.
He's the centrifugal force.
I'm just jealous.
Of the
so
morning
harsh.
Show. Great news. Part what? Of our Beefline sponsorship deal with Harris Ranch includes gift certificates to give away for the beef of the month. I'd like to have the best beef of the month. Each month, we're going to give away a $100 Harris Ranch beef gift certificate available at your local Raley's, Bel Air, and Nob Hill Foods.
Right now, the leader in the clubhouse is a 10-year-old.
Oh, my God.
Who just,
seriously?
Oh, he just destroyed me.
Yeah, that.
Do you have the 10-year-old beef line call?
Give me the 10-year-old.
I'll set it up and say this, Jim. I referee CYO, youth basketball up in Marin. Did a game, very competitive, fourth grade A game. I nailed it. I graded out at a 95. Might have missed a call. Or two, and then this youngster had the temerity. He had the chutzpah, as we say goodbye to Hanukkah for yet another
Thank
year.
Thank you very much for
to
recognizing.
Call in and bury me. Cody, do you have it? The young, I know you're working feverishly
but,
back there.
Because you are going to love it.
This
young 10-year-old was so buttoned up. He took us through it, the process, and he absolutely motorboated the dipster.
Did he? And,
yeah, it was really, really good. So while we're getting that,
I'm Eric from Novato. My beef was with Gibbs. He, over the weekend, he was reffing my fourth grade CYO basketball game, and he almost made me foul out. And he called 3 seconds in the key. Gibbs, you just need to swallow the whistle.
Is that not great?
That is outstanding.
Upticked by a 10-year-old. And he's not wrong. He had 3 quick ones. At halftime, you know, you check the book to make sure everything's copacetic.
Mm-hmm.
I said, how many team fouls? They said, oh, 5 on this team, but you got 3 on number 30. And I was like, oh, geez, I don't remember the third one. You know, I wouldn't have called the third one unless it was an absolute muggy.
So, wow. The kid's right. He's saying that Dibbs said he would have swallowed the whistle and wouldn't have did it. So Dibbs has to go over there during halftime and say, oh, man. I mean, do I got on this young fella? God, I got it. I shouldn't have called that. There you go. The kid's right.
He is right.
Although I will say, that's pretty solid of you to figure it out. Not a lot of officials go to the great lengths that you do. They just are trying to get their 1750 for the for walking back and forth and holding the whistle.
I wouldn't cross the Richmond Bridge for 1750, but that's a quaint narrative.
Nah,
it's,
really?
Nice. You're getting your boy a little bit more.
Really?
Especially when you're working solo.
And
this is a solo rep.
How many years you been doing it? Thank
About 30
you.
30-something,
okay,
so.
You think he's going to go with 70? Come on, Coase. Give the guy a little bit
do
more.
Do they pay you guys on a scale of
Would
how many
you
years you've been refereeing young kids games?
18 and a quarter, Jim, is what I make.
Exactly.
18 and a quarter.
Exactly. You do it for the love of the game.
Yeah, and for the love of the organization, because, you know, I put the C in CYO.
Do you really?
Yeah, for sure.
All righty. Listen, everybody, coming up at 8:18, we're going to be doing the holiday gift grab contest with a chance to qualify for Christmas Day tickets against the Lakers. Are you going to qualify for this, Lo, because you want to go see that game?
I don't care if I don't get the tickets or not. I'm going to that game. I mean, that's a freaking amazing game. So I think I'll load up the fam and go to that one just to watch the Warriors motorboat them, but just to be in the presence, you know, of a great two great teams.
I'm excited about the holiday gift grab.
It's pretty cool. We have this basket in the studio right here. It's all adorned
Beautiful.
And festooned with some nice accoutrement. And the person who calls in, we will pick an envelope out. They'll win that prize, and they'll also qualify to see Lo and LeBron as the Lakers come to town.
And we did post a picture of it, actually, on the Joe Lo and Dibs Twitter page. You can see it all on there.
Really?
Yep, it's all on there.
Oh, so everyone knows it's legit. We're not just coming up with this willy-nilly off the top of our head.
Too legit Correct. To quit.
Anna, we actually
why don't you
do
take
this
some
real.
Pictures and send
oh, I did.
That.
Oh, I did.
See,
that's what I just said.
You should follow your own Twitter account, you know, so you can see what's going on in your own show there, Lo.
We're on to Cincinnati.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Yes, we are. That's why I'd have
We're
you
on.
I had you on pain on mine. I understood that shot when you said it, and then you followed back up to try to get a reaction. I play that role for a reason.
Do you really? Okay.
We're on to Cincinnati.
All righty. We're on to Cincinnati. We're on to the Golden State Warriors because they get the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight. A game that you will hear right here on 95.7 The Game, your home of the Golden State Warriors. It's said that Draymond Green's going to come back tonight. Are you going to be looking for body language? I'm certainly going to be looking for body language.
Not really, Jim. I mean, I kind of was a couple weeks ago, but so much time has passed now. KD has been incendiary. The team has righted the ship, having won, 3 in a row to close out the road trip, including a nice win against Milwaukee. So for me, this is put in the past until we get into another late game scenario. And then maybe I'll have a look at not necessarily body language, but how do they handle themselves in the closing seconds of a tight ball game? Does Steve Kerr still go with his no timeout approach, or do we now start to use timeouts and set plays up to avoid that unpleasantness that happened against the Clippers?
I'm pro no timeout. I have long been a fan of no timeout. Do you have a stance on this?
Yes, I'm pro timeout.
Really?
Because Steve Kerr and the staff are the best in the business at running inbound plays, and they get buckets on the regular. So as much as grab and go, broken floor, they're also very dangerous. To me, there's no better team in the league on a set play coming in on a sideline inbounds than this Warrior team. So,
all right, where do you stand on this, Lo? Are you a guy who wants to see late game situation? You grab a defensive rebound, you want to run up the floor and just go with it because you've got the most talented athletes on the planet, or are you timeout guy for the Golden State Warriors?
How many times you watch a football game and it's 2 minutes or it's a hurry up play, a guy, we don't know if he caught the ball or not. How many times you see coaches, you know, try to run the guys to the line,
hurry
up and get a next play, and the other coach wants to call timeout? Usually the defender side wants to call timeout to be able to do what? Adjust. And I think Steve Kerr, that's why he plays that type of philosophy, and that's kind of how he moves on. And at times it works, and at times it doesn't. But he does it for a reason. And the times that it doesn't work, Everyone's, oh, he should call timeout. This is just bad management, bad coach management. Call timeout, run a design play. Don't you think they practice this? Don't you think that this team has practiced this hundreds and thousands of times that, hey, it's end of a game or end of a half to hurry up down the court. Don't let the defense get set up. They run these different plays. They already practice. They already prepare for those moments. So, yeah, when you call timeout, you get teams to adjust. You get teams to be able to change personnel. How many times you see a team when the guys get ready to shoot a free throw or something happens, they call timeout and bring in defenders for a particular stop? For why? Because they understand what the team is trying to do. So I don't really mind. I don't care if that's what Steve Kerr believes in. I think he's doing it for a reason. And Steve, I'll trust.
Oh, I like that. I like the uptick at the end of this thing. Joe Lowe and Dibs here. Jim Cozumel in for Joe Fortenbaugh. 95.7 The Game. We'll have the Warrior game tonight against the Minnesota Timberwolves here on 95.7 The Game. So the problems are behind the Golden State Warriors. Is this the fun time? Draymond comes back. Steph is showing what he can do. Klay is there. KD starts to roll. Are we really going to see the real slice of the Warriors? There was drama a couple of weeks back, which I thought was kind of fun, just as an NBA fan. But now, is it going to be kind of time to roll? We saw what they did to Milwaukee over the weekend. Was that Friday night when they went into Milwaukee and they just were able to take the Greek Freak and the rest of the Bucks and just kind of destroy them? And they weren't even 100% at the time. Now you get Draymond back. Are we going to see a little roll from this team after they had some adversity low? Is this when you kind of step on the gas? If you're the Warriors, just to remind everyone in the league, hey, when we're all together, everybody, you all can forget about it.
Yeah, I think that you see wolves and they say that, you know, they pack of wolves, they hunt in packs and they hunt best. They never necessarily do it alone. Usually the Warriors are a team for the last couple of years. They've been alone. It's been the pack and then the Warriors have been on another level. It's besides last year.
Everyone's playing for the silver.
Absolutely. So right. So without a doubt, so I make that analogy, Coz, and then you looked at me like, where is he going with this? This is what I do. I enjoy that in the morning to put these analogies together because I'm going somewhere with this.
Yes, you are.
And I just want you to sit down.
You're taking us on a ride.
Yeah, sit back and relax. Put on your
headgear. It's a little bit bumpy, but eventually you do get there. You're slightly nauseous and probably late, but it's a ride nonetheless.
And the transmission might have been dragging after a while.
Daniel, you always help me out in these certain situations, and now for you to just sit there and like, on the way that I do it, it's really, really disheartening.
I just kept it real. I kept it at 100, as we like to say on this program. Please continue this great ride we're on, this illustrious journey, fantastic voyage.
As you two digest for a second. So what I'm saying, Coach, you asked one question, and the question was very, you said.
I've forgotten it.
No, I'll tell you what you said.
Okay.
You said, do you think it's time for this team to put their foot on the gas and everyone's coming back and separate?
Right.
And that's what I was talking about. It's usually the pack. So I make the analogy, the wolves, they hunt in packs. The rest of the league is usually the pack and the Warriors usually stand alone.
All right, fair enough.
So yes, it is time for the Warriors to reintroduce themselves and start separating themselves from the rest of the pack.
And the schedule is not what I would consider to be rugged over the next handful of games. You've got home dates, Minnesota and Toronto. Toronto, of course.
I think Toronto's going to be a fantastic
It's going to be a great game. But it's back home. You've got everybody back in the fold. And you're going to probably go into that game 4 or 5 point favorites. You're going to feel like that's a game that you want to get. And you're going to have an off day in between Minnesota and Toronto. But then, as far as the upcoming road trip goes, to Sacramento, which from a road standpoint is not that difficult.
No.
It's a good team,
yeah,
but it's not a tough travel spot. You got Memphis. You go to Utah, but after that it's 1, 2, 3, 4 straight at home, a trip to Portland, a trip to Phoenix, Houston at home, a trip to Sacramento, New York at home. So you're not going to be taxed physically. That's really what I'm looking at. More than just the opponents, you look at the actual schedule of games. Most of them at home. A couple trips, short ones to Portland, short to Phoenix, short to Sacramento. So, yes, Jim, I think this is a time where you'd see this team rip off maybe 12 out of 13 or a long win streak.
If they do that, including destroying Toronto, I think everyone else in the NBA kind of feels a little bit dejected after all. Everyone thought, oh, look at the Warriors having some issues, having some problems internally. And then you've got these teams out east that are starting to beat up on one another. Toronto goes out and they have their way with the Warriors when they come to town. If the Warriors have their way with the Raptors, when the Warriors are whole again, and they get whole again tonight, and they come back and get them Wednesday at Oracle Arena, and if they just take it to the Raptors, I could see where the NBA kind of shrivels up and says, all right, we're back to playing for silver.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you make those statements, and one of them is a little false. I think that you maybe just didn't understand what you were saying, and that happens sometimes. You know, this is radio, and you are on for 4 hours, Coz. Anyway,
you're saying maybe Jimmy misspoke.
Yes, and I think you'll agree with me here, Dibs. He said the way that Toronto disposed the Warriors.
Oh, yeah.
And that was an overtime game, wasn't it?
It was a tough disposal.
It was a very tough.
So it was more of a recycling.
It was a tough out.
It was more of a recycle than it was a disposal.
Thank you. So when you're saying
so it wasn't a win, or what did the Warriors do on that day?
It was a very competitive game. The Warriors had a chance to win.
And what happened?
You said they disposed it wasn't.
If I could take it from here.
Okay,
Jim, there's really, and I know that you're a big fan of renew, reuse, and recycle, and there's
maybe more than anyone in this room.
Perhaps. And you understand the three-can conundrum. You've got the garbage can.
I hate that.
You've got the recycling can.
Right,
and of course,
Dibbies.
You've got the green can. So the Warriors didn't go up there and get put in the garbage can and then sent off to the dump. No. They didn't even get recycled. In fact, they got put in the green bin, Jim. They got put into the compost bin. They got churned around a little bit, only to turn into fertilizer and grow again.
Every day you listen to this, Anna, dude.
That was actually nicely done.
Every day you listen to this.
And good morning, Anna. It's good to see you again.
Thanks for looking right at me.
Yeah. No, I'm too busy mean-mugging James Cosmore right now, who's been backed into a virtual corner for daring to say that the Warriors were disposed of.
You said they're pretty much.
So can I just ask, what did the Warriors, did they win or lose in Toronto?
Oh, they lost in overtime.
Okay. They were disposed of.
No, they were not taken to the dump and piled on top of that huge mountain of garbage, only to be left there for all of eternity.
A phenomenal finish.
This is what I'm telling you, to how Daniel and I, we work together, and that's why when I say these things, usually he comes in and he says, well, I got this. And he just came in and he motorboated you.
Funny.
And now you're over here trying to shake it and try to, you got motorboated. Funny. Instead of you just taking back
When Joe's here, you're drinking his bath water because you're afraid. Because you guys are afraid of him.
As you continue to just add on.
I build a point.
No.
The point is, Wednesday, when Toronto's here, you don't think the Warriors are going to have their hackles up? You don't think they're going to try to bring the A game?
They're climbing out of the compost bin, Jim.
You're going to say, wait a minute.
They're coming right out of the green bin.
We had a really good effort in overtime, and we lost an overtime game, so we're happy with that.
Oh, I like your little mealy-mouthed Canadian accent.
Right.
Oh, yeah, we're happy, eh?
Yeah. We went up to Toronto, and we did that.
When Toronto comes in, first of all, tonight, it's Minnesota.
I'm looking past the Timberwolves.
Tip time, 7:30. Don't miss a minute here on 95.7 The Game. Tim Roy will have you from tip to horn. After they take care of Minnesota, if they beat Toronto, they might not lose again this calendar year, Jim. They might end up going 11 straight as they head into the new year.
Because they are who they are.
And here's the thing that you guys have to realize, too, when we're talking about Toronto. I know you meant to say it was a good game in Toronto because the Warriors could have won that game very easily. But Toronto had the pressure on them. If you think about that, think about who they didn't play with. Stephen Curry didn't play. Draymond Green didn't play. So you had a lot of your weapons that weren't even at your disposal. You couldn't use
them.
So the pressure was on Toronto to play well because of the fact the Warriors didn't have their guys. Their big guns. They went in half mass. You know, the KD, of course, played. Klay played. So now everyone was picked Toronto to win that game. So now you have to realize and say, it ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. If you look at what's going to happen in a couple days.
He's got a good point.
It's going to be the Warriors now with Stephen playing, Draymond playing. So now the pressure, I think, becomes again on the Warriors. It's going to shift. The pressure's not on Toronto to come here and necessarily to win. The Warriors become the team that's hunted again because of the fact you have Stephen and Draymond and the team is pretty much the rosters in place. So I think the pressure is for the Warriors to play at a high level. And now Toronto is saying, hey, look, we can come in here and let's play the spoiler.
All right. I understand where you're going
with
that.
Do you agree with that?
I'm somehow following that line of thought.
Somehow.
I want to work in the guys who are most recently coming back to the Warriors. Steph Curry's coming back. It's starting to look like he's the guy again. Right?
He's back.
Draymond comes back now. Both miss significant amounts of time. Draymond Green still wants to be Defensive Player of the Year. Steph Curry is Steph Curry. What's more likely to happen? Curry gets himself into the MVP race, or Draymond Green wins the Defensive Player of the Year award?
I think it's the latter, Draymond Green winning Defensive Player of the Year award, because that's a reputation award as much as it is how well did you play on defense? Because honestly, when the votes and the voters come time to make their decisions, they're not looking at every defensive possession. They look at defensive metrics, team and individual, and then reputation plays a huge part in how that decision gets made. MVP, I think that there's a whole nother narrative. There's a whole other idea now in the NBA where they want to spread it around. Steph Curry, having been unanimous and won it two times, they're not going to, quote,
you're not coming back to him.
And not unless he does something overwhelming to win the award. If he has a good year or a great year by most people's standards, if he averages 27 or 28 a game and he hits 35 or he hits 353s and he shoots 45% on three, they still won't find their way to give him the award. They're going to go somewhere else.
All right, I think it's closer. Where do you go?
I think I really believe it'd be closer for Steph. If Steph continues to play as way as he's playing, I think Steph's going to be more in the conversation. He will finish higher in the MVP voting than Draymond because he missed so many games. I think that he'll finish higher than neither one will get it. I don't think neither one's going to. Steph's not going to be MVP, and neither will Draymond be Defensive Player of the Year. But I think Steph's going to finish higher because he is a prolific scorer, the way that he goes about his business. So I think that he'll be more in the conversation than Draymond.
Do some people look at the Warriors and say they're just so darn great, we have to spread everything around to other people other than the Warriors?
Yeah.
Like, does KD almost offset Steph's greatness? So neither is going to win the MVP. And the Warriors are so much better than everyone else. Draymond Green, for as good as he is and as many different guys as he can defend on the floor, you know what? We got to spread something else around because the Warriors are just so much better winning everything.
I'm sorry, Lo. I get that on the MVP side of it because they do offset each other. Shout out Migos and Offset. And apologies on the breakup with Cardi B as I embarrass my kids yet again with my Offset knowledge.
I like Cardi B.
Yeah, and her and Offset, they just couldn't gut it out, Jim. 1 year of marriage, and they just couldn't pull through, but I digest. Mm-hmm. I think that Steph and KD definitely offset each other on the offensive end, but defensively, what he brings to the team, and you saw it in Toronto as we go back to the recycling or the composting.
Exactly.
Nice. It wasn't a disposal. It was a composting by the Toronto Raptors. You could have used Draymond that night more than perhaps any other night. Certainly, you could have used him against Milwaukee, but defensively, the rest of the team stepped up. And Draymond Green cites Kawhi Leonard when he won Defensive Player of the Year, and he missed, what, 18 games in 2015. And Draymond's only missed 11, so I think he's still very much in the award.
So he's still in the running. That's most likely.
Yeah.
He's in the running, and I think the biggest thing, and we were talking about Steph MVP, yeah, I think you got to talk about KD MVP, what he's been able to do. Look at the numbers that he's put up, even when Steph was out. I mean, 50, 54. Think about 40, back-to-back three nights in a row, 40. And I think the biggest thing tonight and tomorrow, what you're going to be looking for is Draymond. You're going to see, is Draymond going to be saying, you know, are you going to watch, you're talking about you're going to be looking for the body language?
Yes.
The body language I'm going to be looking for is KD, I mean, is Draymond going to be saying, KD, do you love me? Are you riding and never leave me? So I think that's the thing.
Don't look at me.
I think that's more the thing that you're going to be looking for, Cozy. Is Draymond going to be saying that? KD, do you love me? You know, the Kiki song. You're talking about Toronto and all those different things. There's a lot going on, and I think a lot of people are going to be looking to see that same dynamics as you are.
That was a lovely dissertation right there.
The win, little Drake, Toronto. KD, do you love
all
me?
I don't care about
Kiki.
No damn Drake night.
Okay, there was a lot going on. That's why Dibs gave me the applause.
I don't give a damn about no damn Drake night.
Exactly.
That was hard to do. Think about that. You were following me?
I was
putting it down.
I was feeling you.
Okay.
Are you kidding me? Top of the hour, just a couple of minutes from now, we're going to hear from the great Jerry Rice. We hear from him every Monday after a 49ers victory, and it was a 49ers win yesterday, and a fun one, and a good one, and a one that I think 49ers can start to think about some positives for the future. We'll hear from Jerry in a couple of minutes to see what he says about a win like that. Tonight, though, with Minnesota coming to town, atmosphere inside Oracle, are we expecting now that everyone's, so the Beatles are back together, everyone's back together, maybe a little bit better feel and atmosphere than you normally get for a Warrior game?
I really do. I really believe it's going to be a big full house tonight, even though it's not a team that everyone thinks, you know, that's going to necessarily be a formidable opponent. I think you do have the fans, kind of the excitement back. You have, you know, KD, Steph, Draymond, the way that they, you know, now you have the bunch back. You have the team back. and now you're hearing the buzz that, that you know, the Boogies are going over to the, you know, the D-League, go to Santa Cruz. I think you are. I think that the fans, the base of the Warrior fan base and everything, they're starting to get optimistic. They're starting to get excited. So, yeah, I think that you will have a little more excitement there tonight.
And to pat you on the back, everyone on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795, loving you, dropping little Drake.
It was needed.
So keep it in.
I mean,
keep it in your game.
We're thinking about Toronto.
Yeah.
Drake does.
Remember
that.
Wednesday. Bring your A game
exactly.
on Wednesday.
And what song did he come out with? Kiki, Do You Love Me? And Draymond and Katie had this little argument.
I don't
argument.
Think you need to recap, but you can just rest on your laurels. I think you had it right the first time. I'm, in all honesty, you don't need to victory lap it. It was good. The fans responded. Jim gave you praise.
But Dibs, I was trying to help everyone kind of, you know, take them. So that's why I was
right.
I thought the need was to, you know.
It's the only thing worse is when somebody says something really funny and then they explain why the joke is funny. It's like we all laugh. You don't need to explain a funny joke when you're waving your hands back there.
Every Monday, we like to talk to Jerry Rice.
Jerry
Rice, presented by the 2019 U.S. Open Championship at Pebble Beach. Tickets available at usopen.com. Be there. The great three-time Super Bowl champion, the NFL Hall of Famer, and the greatest all time. Jerry Rice joins us 95.7 The Game. Joe Lowe and Dibs here in the morning. I am Jim Cozumore in for Joe Fortenbaugh, has the week off. Jerry, nice
Do you love me?
Do you love me?
Hey, how you guys doing? Kiki, do you love me?
Go ahead, Jay Lovers.
See?
Oh, you're riding.
Man.
I love it. See?
What's
he's in
going
it?
On, guys?
Nothing like
great.
A couple of old guys hanging out singing Drake songs, I'll tell you what.
Yeah, I know. Hey, we're bringing it back.
There you go. That's what there I like. All right, Jerry, the 49ers are bringing it back too, man. They got a win yesterday and a nice win. The tight end, George Kittle, playing well. George's going to join us at 9:30 today. When you think, bring me inside the locker room. 49ers get just their third win of the season. What does it do for morale this late in the year and they're still fighting hard against the team and the Broncos who still thought they might have had some playoff hopes?
Well, I'm sure it felt good for Kyle Shanahan to stick it to the Broncos like that. But, you know, just to get a win, it changes the whole morale. And these guys, you know, they went out there, they battled yesterday. They got the win, and Kittle was just killing it, man. That 85-yarder that he had, I mean, running away from people. And this guy, you know, what he brings to the table, he's just like – you know, you can see his commitment, his physicality out on the football field. He makes plays, and he's enjoying the game. So it was a great win for the 49ers. Momentum-wise, you know, this is going to throw them into the next game, and I'm sure they're looking forward to it.
Jerry, what's it like when you have a monster game like George Kittle had? And I take you back to December 18th, 1995, when you guys took on Minnesota. You had 14 grabs for 289 and three, Steve Young finding you all game long. Jerry, what's it like when you're that locked in as a receiver?
Well, I think it's just like you're so caught up in the zone. It you can see the way you can see the field. And I was watching him yesterday. After he caught the ball, it was his vision. And he knew exactly where to get to get to the end zone. So it's like everything slows down a little bit. You just so focused. You know exactly what's going on. And you try not to really get caught up in the moment because, you know, you don't want to say, well, you know, I have caught like about five balls. Then you start thinking about the yardage and all that stuff. But I wanted him to break that record, man. Come on. You know, 4 yards. 4 yards. He would have broke, Shannon Sharpe's record for a tight end. And I don't know why they didn't target him a little bit more in the second half, but, you know, he